Those that are going to children's worship can go. We don't have it on the screen. So I'll just do it this way. Carla's back there waiting on you. We don't have any of those. Okay. All right. Being as we don't have a screen, I can move. I don't know about preaching to the center aisle, though, or not. So, find your outline, because if you're going to make any notes, you got to. But I'm going to have to slow down and let you have time to write, because you don't see it on the screen. You're used to seeing that. So, encourage you to find your outline in your bulletin and follow along. I've been preaching out of Matthew chapter 6, and we'll continue in that chapter. No, pardon me. I finished 6. I'm going to 7. I got to remember where I am. Chapter 7 of Matthew, the first 5 verses I want to look at for our time together today. So if you want to turn there, I'll read that. We'll think about that. I'm entitled today, Follow What Jesus Teaches About Judging, because he talks some things about passing judgment. Matthew 7, starting verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck which is in your brother's eye, and do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So, Jesus talked about this matter of passing judgment. Sometimes individuals use this to say, I have no right to tell you certain things is right or wrong in Scripture. The measure, what this is talking about is criticizing, condemning, passing judgment on people. He's not talking about us holding standards or biblical principles, but that's different. Here he's talking about our attitude toward other people and toward people and their lives. So let me think about that. So on your notes, if you found them yet, you can write in the first line, choose the way I want to be judged. Choose the way I want to be judged. This scripture says, Jesus said, that the way we judge, we will get judged. So if I want, whatever way I want to be judged or thought about or criticized, that's the way I want to do it myself first. So, because he said, don't judge so that you will not be judged. So he said, in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you. It will come back to us. You know, a simple way to say this is what goes around comes around. Jesus called on us to choose carefully. And he gives us the privilege of doing so. So I'm going to think about 2 areas if you're writing it on your notes. Choose the way I want to be judged first by others. By others. The scriptures indicate, and we are we're aware of that in our own life. When you have a certain attitude toward others, do you ever find they have that attitude back toward you? If you're kind, you're loving, and gracious, most of the time people respond to you that way. If you're critical and judgmental, you get it back. And so Jesus is suggesting that if I want to be loved and spoken to kindly and with consideration, that's what I need to do for others. Because Jesus says that what I give out, I'm going to get back from other people. Do you find that to be true? There are some people you love to be around. And there are some people you don't like to be around. Because they're always critical. They're always negative. They're all talking about something that's wrong. Does that bother you? I mean, you know, they're always, you know, fussing. So, if I want people to love me and like me, I need to say, God, help me to be the kind of person that when I am thinking about other people, I speak about them, I care about them, I respond to them in a kind, loving way, because that's what I want to get back. Secondly, another line is on your notes is, I choose the way I want to be judged by God. Does God evaluate me on the way I treat other people? One of the passages that Scripture talks about, he said, if we don't forgive others, what? He won't forgive us. So So the judging that God places on us may be affected by the way I judge other people, the way I look at other people. And so what I'm suggesting is, as I read this passage, Jesus said, I get to choose how I want to be judged by other people. So the way I relate, the way I respond to other people, and the way I respond to God means I'm going to get that back. So I have a choice. So what I want from people, how I want them to treat me, thoughtful, considerate, understanding, loving. How do I want God to treat me? With forgiveness and grace and mercy. And so I do that. I share other people. I look at other people with that kind of attitude because that's what I'm going to get back. That may not be the right motive, but it's a good one. I want to serve God, number one, but recognize that Jesus said, the way you measure it out is coming back to you. And so so if I don't like what I'm getting back, what does it say? Maybe I need to look at what I'm giving out. If I like what I'm getting back, then maybe I'm on the right track. Now, I realize we don't please everybody. I'm reminded sometimes when we do things, I remind us that Jesus didn't please everybody. We're not going to either. But we at least attempt the general attitude toward us. The second thing on your notes is, I want to write in, avoid thinking and speaking judgmentally about others. Avoid thinking and speaking judgmentally about others. We're talking about an attitude of criticism, an attitude of condemnation, an attitude of putting people down because of certain things they do. In verse 3 and 4, Jesus said, why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the log, a speck out of your eye and behold the log in your own eye? So when we're speaking that way, we're speaking with a critical or judgmental spirit about other people. So when I think about that, first of all, let me read the first scripture and then we'll think about the second one in a minute. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. He talked about speaking about people. This is a good principle. Don't allow any unwholesome word or critical word or judgmental word come out of your mouth, but speak only what is helpful for other people when they hear it. A simple way of putting it, as a Kentuckian, is don't say anything about anybody bad. Don't ever say anything critical or judgmental about someone else. I'm not talking about evaluating from Scripture, but I'm talking about just a general attitude. Don't let in wholesome talk. That means that we will need to be careful about what we say when we're in our small groups or we're just fellowshipping around the table or we're down at lunchtime or we're just fixing the meals or whatever. What I'm suggesting, I believe that God is saying to us today, we need to be careful that we only speak good things about another person. If there are critical things that need to be dealt with, I'll talk more about this in a minute, you need to deal with that person one-on-one. You don't need to be talking to your neighbor or to your fellow workers about what so-and-so did that you don't like. And so when he said, don't let an unwholesome word come out of your mouth, it means I need to be very, very careful about what I say. Let me also suggest that I need to be cautious when I share prayer requests. Sometimes people say, oh, I'm going to share you a prayer request, but they give you critical information about a person. That's not, we don't need that. Can you say, pray with me for so-and-so, and that's all you need to say? Now, what do we want? When somebody says, pray for so-and-so, what do we want a lot of times? We want the details. What's going on? How sick are they? What's the issue? Can you pray for a person without knowing the specific details that are going on in their life? Is that as effective as you know all there is to know about it? So we need to be saying, God, when I hear an information, I'm going to pray about it, but I'm not going to pass it on to anybody else. I think I didn't say what I meant to say a while ago about the Kentucky saying. It says if you can't say anything good about somebody, don't say anything at all. I get it right in a minute. So when he talked about this, I need to be cautious when I speak anything negative about another person to other individuals. Because I don't like it when people talk about me. Do you? So if I don't want it to come back to me, I need to be saying I'm not going to give it out in the first place. So I challenge us to be very, very cautious about what we say about someone else's life and what's happening to them and things we see. One of the problems that I think that we deal with here is speaking judgmentally about others is I have to be cautious. Sometimes it's difficult for me to discern between my preferences and what is really happening to a person. Maybe you don't have to do that, but I have to deal with this. Because I think sometimes, well, you ought to be doing it this way because that's the way I think it ought to be done. And so because of that, if you don't do it my way, then it's not right. Don't we have right way, wrong way, and my way? And sometimes if it's not my way, we criticize because you didn't do it my way. And I need to be cautious about what I'm saying if you don't do it my way, because my way may not be the best way, and it may not be the best way for that individual. So when he talks about being don't allow anything come into our mouth that's critical or judgmental, but build them up according to their needs. So you only say what will help that person, what will lift that person up, what will bless that person, what will encourage that person, what will cause other people to think well of them. So I'm determined in my mind, I'm not going to speak judgmental words about another person, only what will build them up, what will encourage them, what will bless them, what will make them a better person. Let me read the other passage. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from what fills his heart. So when I'm speaking critically, what does it mean? If this is true, that in my spirit, in my heart, I'm not just saying something, I'm feeling something that probably ought not to be. Because the scripture says, I speak out of what? What's going on inside me, what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. And so if I'm thinking and feeling things that ought not to be, I need to ask God to change that within my heart. So when I think about other people, I need, instead of judging them, I need to respect them as individuals of value and worth and a person that God is at work in. I want to get to know them. Did you discover that the more you know a person, the less critical you are of them? Because you know their background, you know things in their life, you know the struggles, you know the heartaches, you know the issues, and sometimes you realize they're working out of backgrounds that you and I don't have, that they're trying to deal with, and I need to respect that and honor them and have my heart to love them and care about them instead of criticizing them. And so I'm suggesting I want to avoid thinking, but thinking is the start part. Then when I think right, I will speak right. So I need to evaluate what am I saying based on look at my heart. So then when I think of others, I think of them as God thinks about them and God looks at them. So he said, watch out. It's amazing. It said Jesus talked about a speck in a log. Now, I realize that's probably an exaggeration. But what he's saying is what's going on in your life is bigger and you need to deal with more important than the speck you see in somebody else's life. Did you ever notice if you get something in your eye, do you ever get a little speck in your eye, but how big does it look? Even though it's small, in your eye, it's because it's yours. And Jesus is saying to us, look at our own life. And I want to talk more about this in a moment. But I'll avoid speaking and thinking because I don't want a log in my own eye because I can't see to help other people when I got a big log in my own eye. I haven't dealt with my own issues. The next area is, as I think about that, ask God to judge me. Ask God to judge me. Jesus said in verse 5, he said, you hypocrite, first get the log out of your own eye and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So if I have a log in my own eye, can you have a log in your own eye and not know you got one in your own eye? Can you sometimes not be aware of it? So how are we going to find out? I'm going to suggest, ask God to judge me. Does God see you and me 100% clear? Does He see all the little things in our lives that we want to hide from other people? Attitudes or thoughts? And so, He said, get the log out of your own eye and then you'll see clearly. Ask God to look at me. I can evaluate myself and I can chalk myself up as pretty good. Especially if I pick somebody that I think is not very good anyway. And I start, well, they're this way, but I'm this way, and I'm this way. Well, we could do that for ourselves, because we like to make ourselves feel good. So what I'm suggesting is ask God to take a look inside me. I know He sees it anyway. We don't hide anything from God, but as an honest person, we say, God, help me see. Let me read this, some of the passages that relate to this. And the scripture in 1 Corinthians says, but to me is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself. Yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. Now, he's saying, I don't know anything wrong with me, but I'm asking God to examine me. God to look in my heart. God to look in my spirit. God to look in my mind. And he's saying, I don't really worry about what other people think. And that's a good thing. Although sometimes that can be helpful. But he's saying, God examine. So I say, God, judge me. Examine me. The next verse says, examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. On the other side of your notes, the other scripture I want to read says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thought. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I'm saying, God, you examine me. And help me to be honest with you about what you're saying to me. Take a look at my life. Now, I know God sees that, but when I say God examines me, I'm saying I want you to reveal to me those things that need to be changed in my life. I think we'd all agree that none of us are at the point where there isn't room for improvement. All of us have got some places that we can grow in the Lord and some attitudes and heart things that can be changed by God's grace. Aren't you glad He's helping you? He's willing to make you better, to change you for the good? But I ask Him to examine me, take a look. Notice what He said. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. Now, when I think about wicked way, I'm capable, and I don't know what the rest of you do not, I got my wicked list. Well, you know, I didn't murder today. I didn't cheat on my wife today. You know, I didn't break in a store today. You know, but we got our wicked list. But does God have a different wicked list than I have? Does He look at my heart and say, you're critical of that person, you ought not to be? Does He say you've been angry with your wife or husband? You ought not to be. Does He say you've been gossiping about something? You ought not to be. You see, He can look inside us and I say, God, reveal to me. Now, I have to be honest enough to admit it when God shows it to me. Does God sometimes show you things you don't really want Him to show you what He showed you? Because it hurts. But why does He show us those things? So that He can change them. So that we can become a better person. And so I'm saying, ask God to examine me. Now, one of the ways He's going to examine me is through this book. As you study and read and say, God, is these truths in my life true? Does God examine your life by the book? And that's what I want. So one of the ways He's going to use to examine me. If I have something in my life that I need to know about, I need to get my concordance out and my Bible out and say, okay, God, what about this attitude? What about this issue? And start searching in the Scriptures. Now, don't look for Scriptures that support your opinion. Because we can all do that. They did it in the past. Earlier in this country, they used Scriptures to support slavery. Which wasn't right, but they did it. So I'm saying, God, help me be honest about what I see by from your word. As I read, what do you say about this particular principle, this particular truth in my life, so that I can be honest about myself? This is where I am. Another way that God may use to help us is sometimes he uses a friend to talk to us about our issues. And I don't like that. You don't like to be told. We don't like to be told. I see something in your life that maybe ought to be changed. Hopefully they do it in the right attitude, which I'll talk about in a minute. But if somebody criticizes me, do I need to take a look at what they're saying? Or do I need to say, oh, no, it's not right. You're wrong. Or is it a good thing to ask myself, is there any truth to that? Is there anything in me that is possible that may be in my life? And you ask God to reveal to you through what that person said, is this true for me? And then you ask him to change that, which I'll talk about in the next point. But you ask him to reveal the truth. I pray that God will show us the truth. Because what does Jesus say and the Scripture say about truth? It sets you free when you receive it and act on it. So we want to receive the truth. See, God, as I read the book, I read principles. I read what Jesus said about loving my neighbor, about being kind to one another, about all the principles of how I'm to live. I read the book of Ephesians and others who talk about the kind of Christ-like I live. Am I living that way? And ask God to show me. Am I doing it or not? Because he wants to change us. The next area on your notes, if you will, ask God to remove the log from my eye. Ask God to remove the log from my eye. When he examines me and reveals it, I want to ask him to take it out. Clean it up. Change it for the better. Is that not always why God reveals truth to us about changes? So he can change it. So that he can make us better. So he can make us more Christ-like. Because ultimately the goal of God is to make us like Jesus. And if there are places in our life that are not like Jesus, he reveals it to us so he can take it out of our life and make us more like Jesus than we were the day before or even the moments before. So I ask God to take the log out of my own eye. Once I admit it, I see it, I ask him to do it. The scripture I've listed comes from Psalm 35 from David. It says, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sins. That's one of the things I like about David. I don't like all it did. But when David got cornered and said, you're guilty, what did David do? He admitted it. He asked God to forgive him. When Nathan confronted him about his sin with Bathsheba, he acknowledged it. Got the wrong name there, Nathaniel. That's one of the things I think the reason it says David was a man after God's own heart. Because when God spoke to him, he was willing to listen and be changed and acknowledge where he was and ask God to make a difference. So I'm asking him, Lord, when you show me something, take it out of my eye. Take the log out of my eye. This, whatever it is. Because, you see, God's evaluation is more important than mine. And I may not think it's big, but God sees it as big. By the way, is the level of sin, are there certain levels that are bigger to God than others? Sin is sin, is it not, before God? And so it's all a log, if you will, if it's in my eye. If it's in me and something I'm failing to do. So I'm asking him to do that. I'm asking him to take the log out of my eye and to bring... One of the scriptures that I like to try to ask God to do is bring every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. Every thought captive so that I'm thinking like Jesus does every moment of every day and every situation. Now, is that easy? No, I'm human. I like to do things my way. And sometimes I don't listen. But I ask him, God, bring my thinking, my mind, my thoughts in captive to yours, and you get the log out of my eye. Now, let me suggest a couple of things about that. When God cleans us up, and he does, aren't you glad that when you confess it to him, he takes care of it then? You don't have to wait 2 weeks or a month or a day. Right now, if something comes to your mind and God says, this is in your life, you need to change it. And right now where you're sitting, you say, God, that's right. Would you forgive me? And he takes care of it right now. He forgives it. It's gone. He'll help you. That's good news. So when he takes it out of my eye, what I ask, he said, ask God to take it out of your eye. A couple of things. First of all, I write in, so I can see God more clearly. So I can see God more clearly. When God gets rid of this stuff that's blinding me and hindering me, and God cleans me up, do I see God more fully? Can I see Him more perfectly? Can I understand Him better? Obviously I can. Because this that's been hindering me is in my way. In fact, one of the scriptures says that if we hide iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. It means we're blocked. We can't see. So when you talk about a log in our own eye, we can't see what God's saying until we get it out. Ask God to clean it up. Then we can see. Do you ever find yourself looking back at your life and say, I see now what I didn't see then? I see more clearly what was happening that I didn't know was happening? Because God's cleaned up our life. And we see our life differently than we did before. So I ask Him to get the log out of my eye so I can see God more clearly. Secondly, so I can see others as God sees them. So I can see God as others sees them. I can see others as God sees them. I got that wrong. So I can see others as God sees them. That's what I want to say. Is God's viewpoint of other individuals different maybe than mine? Does God see their heart and what's going on inside them differently than I do? So when my eyes get clear, I get this log on my own eye, my life right with the Lord, then I can see others like God sees them, and I can love them. I can care for them. I can nurture them. I can pray for them. And so instead of criticizing and condemning them, which is this judging concept I think Jesus is talking about, I begin to see that there's needs. I've often asked myself, and I want to keep on, when I see something that I think is wrong in someone else's life, what's my first reaction? Is it critical, or is it to get on my knees and say, God, I see my sister, my brother, and it looks like they're off track with You. Would You minister to them? Would You change them? Would You bring them back into fellowship with You? Would You reveal the truth to them? It changes our attitude when we get on our knees on behalf of another person that we think is out of line with God. We don't know that, because we don't know what's going on in their heart. But I'm praying that God help us. Our first reaction will be, God, I'll bring this person to You and ask You to show me the truth. And show them the needs in this person's life. Because God does see them. He does know them. He does know where they're coming from. I've had a very easy life, I think, compared to some people. God saved me when I was 14. He called me to preach. I've been preaching since I was 16 years old. My life is always centered about that. But there are other people who live a lifetime or a lot of life in stuff in the world that I've never touched. And when they get saved, they're dealing with things I never dealt with because I never had that in my life to start with. So I need to be cautious because they're dealing with things that God may be still having to heal and deliver from that I didn't have to put up with because I'm blessed by my parents and what I had. You understand what I'm saying? God helped me see those other people. As You see them, You see where they've been, You see the struggles, You see the heartaches, You see the things they've been through that are affecting their life today. Because we're all affected by the things in our past. And God sees that. So I'm saying, God, clean up my eye. The scripture I've listed on your notes says, it had to do, with, of course, with Samuel and choosing a king. We know this verse. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his height or his stature, because I've rejected him, for God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And of course, he said that the same as he went to anoint the king. But notice God said, I'm looking at what's going on inside you. So I'm asking God to clean up my own eyes, my own viewpoint, so that when I look at other people, I begin to see them in the way that God sees them, understand them, love them. Because when God sees a down and out person or a sinner, does He love them or does He condemn them? He loves them. He doesn't like what they do, but He loves them. And He doesn't condemn them. He calls them to Himself. So we need to say, God, help me to not condemn those people, but lift them up that God may change their heart, change their life. Because all of us have had things in our past that God's had to deliver us from, and we're grateful. So we need to pray God do it for the others. So I'm saying, God, clean up my eyes so I can not look at the outward appearance, but at the heart, by God's grace, help me to see them as You see them. Now, the last thing on your notes, exercise compassion when trying to help others. exercise compassion when trying to help others. What I'm suggesting is this. When somebody deals with your eye, how sensitive is your eye? How much do you want them poking around in your eye? It doesn't take much. You get a little speck of dust in your eye. And so what I'm suggesting is, because Jesus used this illustration, he's saying to us, because an eye is tender and we need to treat it with tender, I need to treat other people with the same kind of compassion that he treats me when he deals with me. Aren't you glad that when you come to God and he's dealing with you, he doesn't grab up a 2x4 and whack you over the head and say, dummy, you ought to change. He may ought to, but he doesn't. But how, most of the time the Spirit begins to draw us. He begins to say you need to be changed. You begin to reveal truth to us. And so he comes and he says, calls us with great compassion. I remember the scripture says, by the mercies of the Lord they were not consumed. I thought about it, you heard me say it. If God were a vengeful God, we would all be crispy critters. Well, you think about it. If God were a vengeful God and I step out of line, he'd go, you're done for. You're out of here. Could he do that? Could he be justified in doing that? Probably. But he doesn't. In compassion, he calls us to himself. In compassion, he reveals our sin. In compassion, he calls us to Jesus and says, let me change that. And I'm glad he does. So I'm going to do that for other people. I want to exercise compassion when I try to help other people. That's not saying. Now, notice he didn't say, don't try to help others. He said, get your own life straight and then have compassion when you talk to another person, to trying to help them, lovingly care for them, not criticizing, not condemning, not passing judgment on them. Because, see, when he's talking about judging, he's talking about us being judge and jury. You're guilty, you're bad, you're done for. No, that's not what he's saying. We don't do that. That's God's job, not mine. He said, brethren, if anyone is caught in the trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourselves so that you'll not be tempted. Restore them in the spirit of gentleness, like God deals with us most of the time. I know there are times he gets us more difficult and more severe, but most of the time it's the spirit of gentleness. The other passage says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Notice the words he uses in that scripture passage. Compassion, gentleness, humbleness, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Just like you want to be forgiven. Dealt with like you want to be dealt with. And say, God, help me to be compassionate. Help me to care about a person's life. Not to be there to criticize, not to be there to condemn, but to say, God, help me to see that person and have your heart, your attitude toward restoring and refreshing and renewing that person rather than putting them down or telling them how bad they are or condemning them. So when Jesus said, don't judge, he's talking about a critical, judgmental, passing judgment on somebody attitude. He is not talking about taking Scripture and speaking truth in the right spirit. But he's talking about this attitude of judgmentalism. And so I'm praying, God, help me not do that. Because I find sometimes I have to be cautious. Because sometimes I look at people and they're not doing it like I think they ought to do it. And I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, you shouldn't be doing that. When maybe I don't have the right to do that. Because the Scripture says they're accountable to their own master. They're accountable to God, not to me. And I need to be praying for them and praying that God would change their heart if they need to be changed, or change my attitude if it needs to be changed, rather than going around criticizing and telling my neighbors, my friends, my fellow Christians, you hear about so-and-so. The way to handle it is to keep it to ourselves and go to God with it. If it's serious enough and needs attention, you need to come to me as a pastor or one of the spiritual leaders of the church, and let's talk about it, pray about it. Don't go talking about everybody else. Because that's not the attitude Jesus is talking about. I found this. It's from a magazine called Increase, and I want to close with it. It says, as I watched them tear a building down, a gang of men in a busy town with a heave-ho and a lusty yell, they swung a beam and the sidewall fell. I asked the foreman, are these men skilled? And the men you'd hired if you wanted to build? He gave a laugh and said, no, indeed, just common labor is all I need. I can easily reckon in a day or two what builders are taking years to do. And I thought to myself as I went my way, which of these roles have I tried to play? Am I a builder who works with care, measuring life carefully by God's word? Am I shaping my work to do a well-made plan, patiently doing the best I can? Or am I a wrecker who walks to town, content with the labor of tearing down? O Lord, let my life and my labors be that which will build for eternity. God, help us to have His attitude, not a critical one. I think we'd be a better church, and the world would be better if more of us could do that. Because lost people need to know that we love them like they are, not like that we want them to be. Because I remember, and I want to keep remembering, lost people act like lost people. I can't expect them to be different until they meet Jesus. Jesus is the one who changes us, right? We're not going to change anybody. No matter how hard we try. You know that, don't you, husbands and wives? Well, some people say get married, but they plan on being perform a reformation in the person they marry. No, it don't work. Because you don't change them. It's God who changes them. And so we need to bring them back to the Word, to the truth of God, and bring our own heart back so that when God uses us, we have eyes that are clear, hearts that are loving, and through which God might work to help restore somebody in the spirit of gentleness and meekness. So let me say to you today, if you're here and have never met Jesus as Savior and Lord, that's the kind of Savior He is. You can come to Jesus today and say, Jesus, I don't know You. I've been messing up. Would You forgive me? And He'll say, yes, you can come home. I'll forgive you. I'll restore you. I'll make you a new creation. I'll change your life for the better. No matter where you've been. Aren't you glad? And He's there today for anyone here. If you'll just give your heart to Him and cry out to Him, ask Him to come to you. Let's bow together. And as we think together and pray together, I pray that each of us have been listening to what the Spirit says in our own hearts. Because that's what's important. What I say as pastor is not the issue, but what God says in our hearts are. And so there's a response you need to make today. I pray that we'll do that. First of all, in our own spirit. Second, if you need to share that with me or Pastor Ryan, we'll be glad to share with you, pray with you, encourage you. But if you've never given your heart to Jesus, I want to tell you, He's there waiting for you to come to Him this day. Let Him change you. Let Him begin a work that'll last a lifetime, really last forever. Lord, thank You for Your Spirit, which deals with all of us. Help us to be honest with ourselves, honest with You about where we are in this matter. Change us, Lord, to be a more loving, caring people, more cautious about what we say and do, because that's what You tell us to do. Lord, search us. Search me. If the log in my eye, Lord, reveal it, that You might take it out. So we can be a better servant of Jesus, a better minister of Christ to people around us who need You so desperately. Have Your way in this moment of invitation. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to stand and sing. Encourage you, if you made a commitment to Christ in some way, come and share it. You like prayer, come and share it. You like just come and pray on your own. But let's stand, because we're dealing with a living God who's here today to talk to us.